Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you on Tuesday. It's Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone, and you can dial us up, can join the program, 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Numbers to get in, you can email chris@hailvarsity.com. Follow us, find us on Twitter at Hail Varsity. Chris Schmidt at Schmidt underscore radio at Colton Stone is two birds, one stone. We will have Ndamukong Suh news, some more thoughts on Dedrick Mills as the red tape is officially cut. Is that an Avengers thing or are you pimping Arkansas? What are you drinking out of, Colton? I see a big red A. Is that some sort of
wholesale supplement?
Shade at me?
No, I am A1. No, it's a wholesale.
Shade as in like you're missing two letters and then the rest of the phrase.
Not sponsored by him or anything, but super cheap, like buy one, get one free supplement. So a lot of times saves a lot of money.
Okay. You're a supplement guy.
Yeah.
We will get into medical marijuana use in the NFL, kind of keeping along parallels of drug use. Elijah's sitting in. He is learning from you. Can he hear you at all, or is he just watching our lips move?
Oh, he can hear me just because he's right next to me.
Okay, but well, we may make him nod off to sleep. He's a proud Southeast alum. Elijah is part of the fold now. Excited to have him. We're at Zipline tomorrow, man. It's Big Ten baseball tournament time at TD Ameritrade. That is going to be awesome. We are at Zipline 4-6. I know Nebraska starts playing allegedly at 9 o'clock tomorrow night as they take on the Gophers, which means that'll be a 10:30 start.
Right.
Don't maybe earlier, maybe later, I don't know, but point is we have a road show tomorrow at Zipline. We love Zipline, awesome people. They're letting us do the show from their brewery in Omaha in the Old Market, right near TD. So if you're going up for Nebraska baseball, if you're priming, if you're taking the rest of the week off to engulf Big Ten baseball at TD Ameritrade, come see us. Come say what's up. Just talking to Lexi, we have session passes to give away. So if you want to go see Thursday action, we'll have some for you. If you want to see Friday, Saturday, go through the gamut, okay? That's a good thing. A good thing for Nebraska is Dedrick Mills is in. The red tape is finished. He's ready to go to work. We are going to talk to Derek Peterson, Dr. Petey, in about an hour and 20 minutes. And I love the story that Derek wrote today on HailVarsity.com. I spend a lot of time talking about the work on HailVarsity.com because the job that Mike Babcock and Aaron Sorensen and Brandon Vogel and Greg Smith and Jacob Padilla and, of course, Derek Peterson do, second to none. They are phenomenal at what they do. And you have, I mean, you had a moment right now of, what did we spend? We spent about half the show yesterday talking about Nebraska football, their need for an I-back, their need for this style of I-back with Dedrick Mills that's 5'11", that's 215, that almost went for a G as a true freshman in ACC play. And I wanted to dive a little more into just what he looked like running the ball, what his style was. And, you know, it's hard to tell. The best thing I can tell you is when I watch him run, it kind of reminds me of Ziggy. Is that fair? I think that's fair, right? I mean, some guys run like Eric Dickerson and some guys don't, right? So when it comes to a comparable back, mm-hmm. What's the style that the guy runs with? I mean, Le'Veon Bell, 1, 2, 3, go. Like, I mean, he's jumping from leg to leg, and then his 0 to 60 is 0.9 seconds, right? He accelerates his patience. There's great vision with a guy like Mills, but in the Georgia Tech option offense, the dude was the veer back where he'd take a handoff and run through traffic. So just the read up the middle in the option offense, and then you kind of dial it back now to what you're going to have with Adrian Martinez in the zone read in the Oregon offense. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a match made in heaven from a style and fit standpoint, and just being able to get the football, make a cut, and then just get downhill. So I know why this guy was a major, major priority for Coach Ryan Held and Nebraska football. I really am excited because this really, let's just not BS, this makes Nebraska's backfield complete. Mm-hmm. It also makes you feel really good if you're a Nebraska football fan and you're buying the preseason mags and you're buying into the Nebraska's the best in the West. And I like the fact that Coach Sims took some time to talk with Derek Peterson. We'll spend some more time with that. And Sims is the same guy that Coach Levante David. We're out to Levante David for today or tomorrow, too. We'll see if that happens. Levante has been a past guest several times on the show. So with the Sioux announcement, right? But back to this moment here with Mills, I think he's got good acceleration. I think he's got enough breakaway. Mm-hmm. To maybe not take it to the house, but instead of getting caught after 20 yards, the guy's caught after 40. Okay, does that make sense? 45, 50. Mm-hmm. He's a guy that I think can be special for Nebraska. So that is great news for the Big Red. It's official. He's been accepted to school. He joins the team tomorrow. And when you pair the attack of a Mills and an Adrian, and then you have that duck R guy that can catch or run the football like a Miles Jones, like a Rondale, right? I mean, that is going to be very special for Nebraska in the backfield, and it can help an offensive line that's going to need to take some time to gel together.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really interesting to see Dedrick go from the option to kind of the traditional triple option. Mm-hmm. Into the read option, like you said, because to have the skill set to be in a triple option, I mean, that should,
the offense doesn't happen. You don't play in that offense, right? Very much anymore.
Yeah, you don't. That, and on top of that, like, you have to be not an elite running back, but you have to be pretty damn good at it, because mm-hmm. you can't just expect to get it, you know, handed up the middle or pitch to the outside, what, 90 times in the game, not you alone, but between three guys. And you have to be ready to run any direction. And when you're only running the ball, you don't want very much east-west. It's north-south. And you look at his body type, and he's probably sitting at what? I mean, they might cut him down a little bit, but he's probably in 220, 215, right in that
range.
He's 215.
There. Yeah. 5'11", 215.
So they may actually beef him up a little bit.
Because Ziggy was – what did Ziggy run at last year? Was he around 220?
225, right?
225, because
yeah.
he had ran heavier.
Yeah, he cut
before
down
Frost.
A little bit, yeah.
He had cut down 10, 12, 15 pounds.
Mm-hmm. So I think, I mean, they need a bigger body guy, because if you're going to be running it up the middle a lot, you don't want to be frail.
Well, you need that threat. Mm-hmm. You absolutely need that threat.
And then you look at the rest of the guys, and the rest of them are kind of outside threats. Mm-hmm. Between Maurice Washington, Ramir Johnson, Ronald Tompkins, Juan Dale, whoever you want to put out there, you mm-hmm. could put them both out there at the same time. And, you know, I think Dedrick also being a bigger body guy is going to be key for the passing game, too, because you need a guy back there that can block.
You do, and that'll be key. And you also need a guy back there with hands, mm-hmm. so you can have the full complement of your offense. We'll spend a few more minutes on this pickup. Mitch Sherman is coming up in 10 minutes. Get his take on Mills and what it means for the Nebraska offense. Get his perspective. We'll talk with Derek Peterson on it. Rick Pizzo is coming up here as he'll be anchoring all of the Big Ten baseball coverage. Thoughts from Darren Erstad, NFL and marijuana. And let's go into the NFL here. Barring a hiccup, you are going to have Levante David playing with Ndamukong Suh in Tampa for the very first time. Ooh. You've dreamed about it as a Nebraska fan, where, man, that'd have been really cool if Levante and Sue could have played together. You had Levante after Sue in 2010 and 2011, and Levante's as good as it gets at linebacker, phenomenal player. Loved watching him play, love having him on the show. And Ndamukong Suh is going into year, what did we say, 10?
Well, graduated 09, so
drafted in 2010, so 10th season.
Yeah.
And it was funny to watch kind of Twitter react when Gerald McCoy got chopped yesterday. And McCoy still had some years left on his deal, but he wasn't doing any of the OTAs. And McCoy's great. He's a tremendous talent. My theory is this. You have phenomenal defensive linemen. You have Aaron Donald. You have Ndamukong Suh. You have Gerald McCoy. Mm-hmm. And I think those interior guys, they have about a 3-4 year window of maybe a 8 to 12 year career where they are elite, they're all pro, they're phenomenal. And it's such a tough place to play and grind and go through 16 games in a season. And then, God forbid, you get to the postseason. Mm-hmm. It is so hard to play at that level constantly and not drop off or not get injured or not just lose some steam. So I look at Sue, and I look at Sue's career, and I know he had a really good first year and second year in Miami. The third year didn't go so well. Mm-hmm. I know he had a great impact splash rookie year for Detroit. And then I know he had a great year before his contract was about up in Detroit. And I think he can have, and he, I thought he was phenomenal for the Rams. Mm-hmm. And Elijah looked up the numbers. It was a one-year deal for $14 million to go play with Aaron Donald and step out of his comfort zone, mm-hmm, and play in a 3-4, and they move Sue all around. They could put him in nose. They could put him at defensive end. They could put him in defensive tackle. And he's such a fluid elite athlete with zero body fat and so powerful that, I mean, he is a guy I love watching in the trenches. Always has. When he's been at Nebraska, he was incredible. But even in the NFL, dude, he's just a party to watch go destroy people on the interior. So Levante David's Twitter last night, when the Gerald McCoy news came down, he had the zipper over the mouth of the smiley face guy, like he was about to, like, he's just keeping his mouth shut, right? What the hell, my boy McCoy is gone, and those are the guys that keep people off of Levante David. I know Tampa just drafted the stud linebacker out of LSU to pair with Levante. Bruce Arians is down there, and we'll see how it goes, but I want Tampa to do well because I've always liked Levante, and now that Sue's there, you get that combination. I think Sue has got a ton left in the tank because I think Sue, and this is the nice way of putting it, I think Sue has paced himself. Mm-hmm. I think Sue has paced himself in big moments and big games. I think of the NFC Championship against the Saints where he went Texas 09 on New Orleans. The difference is Sue in Detroit, he had Fairley next to him before Fairley had to retire because of enlarged heart. If you remember the interior guy that played for Auburn and then got drafted. So he had Sue and Fairley with Jim Schwartz, probably sacrificing live chickens, right? Because those guys were off the chain, really good. But you had Donald and Sue teamed up this year together. But now Sue, what's he going to have on the line to help him? He's great, but he's going to get a ton of attention. Now, the linebackers are a happy group with that. But Sue is back to a 4-3. Sue is back to a state that has a better tax situation. Yep. Second time he's going to Florida. Was with Miami. He's now with Tampa. He seems like a guy that can play and thrive under Arians. And I know Arians is a quarterback whisperer and an offensive-minded coach. But Sue's a guy that can get after it defensively. As much as Sue made last year in L.A., L.A. is one of the worst tax situations. Mm-hmm. At $14 million was probably more like $6.5-$7 million, right? Mm-hmm. So I like Sue going to Tampa, and it's a reason to jump back on. I know a lot of you would find a bar or get the NFL Sunday ticket so you could watch Levante in Tampa. Keep an eye on him, follow him. Well, now that you got the 1-2 punch of Sue and Levante, I mean, that's all that's been being talked about on Twitter today, is that and this writer from the Daily Caller out of Wisconsin that is just blasting Nebraska, David Hookstead, is insulting the Big Red. We'll get into that. Hookstead on Twitter: Nebraska, once a proud football program, now they're a joke in the Big Ten, despite the fact that some of you believe they can beat Wisconsin. There's a better chance I'm married to six models tomorrow than Nebraska beating the Badgers. So this guy's gone all in on Nebraska. The Daily Caller is about journalists who love America. He is a beer drinker, though, so that is all right. But, you know, and to his point, yeah, it's not been good for Nebraska in the Big Ten. Is that news to anybody? No. Nebraska has struggled in the Big Ten. They've made one championship game appearance. This year is going to be a different Nebraska team. I'm not guaranteeing they get to Indy, but I think they can beat Wisconsin. Wisconsin's a good program, good football team. Nebraska's not going to be far behind. Mitch Sherman's next.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
Thank you, Kramer. Coming up, we'll run down Rick Pizzo, Big Ten Network. We say hi to Mitch Sherman from The Athletic, at Mitch Sherman on Twitter. Mitch, are you going to order some sunshine tomorrow?
It's coming. Baseball season, our postseason baseball season, arrives in Nebraska tomorrow. And with it, I'm hoping some nice weather, because I want to go out and watch some Big Ten tournament this week.
Well, swing by and wave at us. We'll be at Zipline Omaha tomorrow across from the ballpark doing our show. Okay. So the invite is for Mitch Sherman and all of his buddies to come by and say what's up.
I want to get there early enough, I will. Yep.
That's good. That's good. I want to kind of get your thoughts on Erstad here and his mentality. What's the mood today from him at his presser? Just having some of his comments. He seems like pretty relaxed and locked in. He seems excited.
Yeah, I saw some of the clips from his presser. I wasn't there today, but from what I saw and from what I know about Darren, you know, he's excited to be playing postseason baseball, because a year ago at this time they were sitting home. That tournament was in the same place in downtown Omaha, and that was beyond frustrating for all of.
Still there, Mitch? Oh, no. We lost Mitch. We need to reconnect with Mitch Sherman of The Athletic. We were talking Darren Erstad, and it was going to be the best point ever about Darren Erstad and Nebraska baseball. So we'll get Mitch back here very shortly. You can email the program, chris@halevarsity.com. Give us a follow on Twitter, @HaleVarsity. My Twitter, Chris Schmidt, @Schmidt_radio, or Colton Stone, who's banging the phones right now, @2birds1stone. So we have him. We do. We made a snow cone catch right there. Mitch, you're back. You were about to kill it with a take.
Yeah, sorry about that. I don't know how I lost it, but we were talking about Darren Erstad, and I said the great thing for Darren right now is that he's got a team that's playing a week before Memorial Day, and they're not sitting home as they were a year ago with postseason baseball in downtown Omaha, and they get a chance to after two strong showings at home, two strong weekends at home, to go out and do it at the Big Ten tournament and secure their fate going into June. So. His attitude, and I'm sure the attitude of the entire Nebraska baseball program, is one that, is happy to have this opportunity, because they're not taking it for granted after what happened a year ago.
Mitch Sherman's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. So, Mitch, do you think Nebraska is in the field of 64? B, do you believe that Nebraska can, are they a favorite, despite being a five seed, to do some damage in Omaha?
Yeah, I mean, I think they've shown the last couple of weeks that they can play with anybody. And really, they've shown it through most of the year. There was a downstretch in part of April and May, but they've righted that with the way that they played against Arizona State and Michigan. It seems that the bats have come alive as the weather's turned warm, that you wouldn't know it from today. And that's what they need, because they've had good starting pitching all along and then really got good starting pitching, you know, with the exception of that Friday night game against ASU. But then you know, Waldron cleaned that up against Michigan, and they got three good starts against Michigan last week. So that's what it takes. I mean, that's what you have to do in late May and early and into June. You've got to be strong on the mound, and Nebraska is benefiting from the fact that they have they have veterans. They have guys who you know have been around college baseball for a long time, even if they don't have necessarily the postseason experience. So that's going to help Nebraska. I think that they're fairly safe. You don't want to go 0-2 this week and then sit around for 3 days and wait. But I think they're in a good spot, despite the not being among the top three seeds in the Big Ten. I think because of that non-conference strength of schedule, the selection committee is going to look favorably on them.
Mitch Sherman's joining us, The Athletic, Hale Varsity Radio, at Mitch Sherman on Twitter. Mitch, let's switch to football, and the Dedrick Mills news is in, and Nebraska's got their back. They got Noah last week as a grad transfer wideout, so the experience side of things is big time. What does Mills do for the Nebraska offense? What does his style bring to the table when I think about the running game and attack that Coach Frost and Coach Held want to have?
Yeah, he's a hammer, and he's the only guy on the roster. With Maurice Washington's status in jeopardy in limbo right now, I don't know if jeopardy is the right word, because I don't know. I don't think that it's dire. But you're certainly in a holding pattern on Maurice Washington right now as this thing plays out slowly in the courts in California. Mills is he's the most experienced guy, even with Mo Washington. The year at Georgia Tech in 2016, and then running for more than 1,000 yards at Garden City last year. He's got the experience that you need in a back, and he's a totally different kind of back than anybody else on this roster, in that he's just a sledgehammer. You know, you're going to run him into the line of scrimmage between the tackles. And it's something that they need, because you can't have, even in this spread it out offense with Scott Frost calling the plays, you can't have all of your running game threats as guys who are more comfortable outside the tackle. And I think the one thing that's going to linger with Washington through this offseason, it maybe will be surprised in August when he comes in and he's 20 pounds heavier, but I think going back and forth to California and having to deal with this stuff has been a hindrance for him to get into the weight room in the way that they wanted him to be there throughout this year after his freshman season. And they hoped that he could be a guy who put on some weight and was more of a physical player as a sophomore. And if he's eligible and he's there as a sophomore, I don't think you're going to necessarily see that guy, because this offseason has had so many ups and downs for him. But Mills is that guy. And, his junior college coach says, you can make a living off of this guy getting 8 to 20-yard runs. They need that kind of a threat in this offense, so that guys like Washington, guys like Wandale Robinson, and others who are guys like J.D. Spielman, the two freshman running backs who are coming in, so they can step into the backfield, get their reps, and be more dangerous going outside the tackles because of what you have with Mills.
Mills is that up the middle A-gap grinder, and he's got some burst as well. And I just love the fit, Mitch, with the zone read game coming from the option attack. He was at Georgia Tech.
Yeah.
I mean, it's perfect.
Yeah, he was a fullback at Georgia Tech.
Yeah.
And, you could still saw him – obviously that offense was an option offense, and he would get out. He didn't just run the fullback trap. He ran all kinds of stuff where he did get outside the tackle. And, you know, he's not a blazer, but he has enough speed that in this offense that is full of fast guys, he's a weapon. And, yeah, I think it's important to note, too, that it's not just up the middle, and that with Adrian Martinez and running some of that zone read, and he's going to be a guy who's experienced and can walk right in despite not being there for spring practice because of being in college for 3 years. He was hurt through 2017, his first year at Garden City, but he still has been a part of a college football team for 3 years. And Nebraska, you know, desperately needed that this, you know, in this offseason heading into 2019.
Got about 2.5 minutes here, Mitch. Your latest story on The Athletic profiles Adi Kunalek and, of course, Blake Lawrence. And Blake's one of my favorite people. Love having him on from time to time. And share what your story is about with Blake. And on Twitter, before you came on, there was, I don't want to say blowback, but some comments about Bob Sanders from Kirk Ferentz, right? From a branding standpoint, kind of lay that out for us.
Yeah, the story you can find today on The Athletic is all about Open Doors. And it's the Lincoln Company founded in 2012 by Blake and Adi, former Nebraska football players who were teammates of Prince and Mukamara all through Prince's career. And when Prince got into the NFL, you know, he wanted those guys to help with his social media. And they tried to do it in a normal kind of way without the software that they later developed and found that Prince, you know, he was too busy as an NFL player to go and post these things himself. And this is an important aspect of his brand, of Prince's brand. And, you know, as we dive deeper into the 21st century, an important aspect to college student athletes, to high school student athletes, and certainly to NFL players who can monetize and make money off of their brand. So these guys saw an opportunity. They created some software, used it with Prince. And now it's taken off to the point where, you know, they service athletes and coaches and administrators around the world and have contracts that allow the NFL Players Association, everything from the NFL Players Association to athletic departments in college and sponsors like Coca-Cola, you know, get their content into the hands easily of these athletes. And, you know, it's a cool idea. And it's really taken off, and it's, you know, it's headquartered right there on Q Street in downtown Lincoln. The part that you mentioned about Iowa and Kirk Ferentz, I had an opportunity to talk to Kirk Ferentz a while ago, actually, about this subject and branding. You know, Iowa is one of the programs that when you step foot on campus as an Iowa football player, your social media is gone. At least your Twitter is gone. You can't get on no liking posts. No retweeting, no posting, and you know, in the eyes of Open Doors, and I think in the eyes of a lot of people around 2019, Kirk Ferentz is taking an important tool away from a lot of his football players, or all of his football players. And you know, what he says is you know, that brand is kind of a comical term to him. It's not comical to Ohio State, who's developed an entire program that they use in recruiting called Brand U, and you know, they recruit to that. They bring kids in because they tell them that they're going to help these kids market themselves and you know, not at the expense of the football program, but in addition to what they're going to do in that football program. So Ferentz had a quote about Bob Sanders and Dallas Clark and what was their brand when they were players, and I asked Blake about it a couple weeks ago, and you know, of course, he pointed out that those guys were from a different era. And it's an interesting conversation. I mean, Iowa has had success, certainly, running a program with this kind of a philosophy. But, you know, Open Doors is a forward-thinking company. And I think when you look back at this years from now, you know, these guys were looking toward the future a lot more than were programs that shut off social media to their players.
Mitch, thanks for the time today. Awesome stuff. Appreciate you.
All right. Good to talk to you, Chris. Take care.
And we're back.
Fellas, think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
All right, putting the image out there right now. Got a friend that is on assignment in Chicago for work. I'd like to be on assignment with him. So So he's kicking it down near Nike Town in Chicago. He's my height. And let's just say we're fat old men. Fat-er old men. Although Jay Bird's not heavy. But he ran into Taco, like 8 foot tall Taco, who's still kicking around Chicago after the combine. So they get the proverbial picture of Taco with his hood up. And Jay Bird, I would say after three Coors Lights, in downtown Chicago. And it's tall, fierce athlete, and short, mid-aged 40-year-old. It makes you smile, America, when you have a picture of the Sears Tower and a fire hydrant. All right? Good stuff from Mitch Sherman. Let's discuss this Iowa thing and social media and Kirk Ferentz being the soup Nazi. Okay? Yeah, and Blake's awesome. Blake's been on the show before. Blake Lawrence started Her Dat. We're part of Her Dat with Hail Varsity, and he's got open doors. Mm-hmm. And so what's really cool is just the ability by Blake and Audi to manage the branding side. And there's a fine line, and you let professionals like Blake get out there, handle it, maybe make some endorsement dough, mm-hmm. get paid for your influencing. I mean, it's just a new world, right? It's no longer Jordan spending 15 hours shooting a commercial for Nike, Gatorade, and McDonald's in the offseason. Mm-hmm. It's as simple as Rob Gronkowski saying, here's what I take to eliminate hangovers, okay?
Right.
Or here's a picture of Gronkowski or Flacco with American Express. And it's just an image. It might be a 15-second video. I mean, look at our boy Searles. He's got hooked up with a video game company where folks can log on and play with him or mm-hmm. against him, right? So it's just a new world. And I think it is, there's a fine line where you need to have an old school mentality about going to work every day and wanting to physically dominate the man lined up across from you. You need and have to have that. There's also got to be a little playtime and fun time where you want guys to feel invincible and bulletproof, okay? And their ego needs to be fed appropriately. Mm-hmm. Some guys can't handle kids, adults, pick a demographic. They can't handle the social media side mm-hmm. where their whole world's hung up on did someone like or retweet me. You need to come to the 23rd century 2.0 version of today's athlete.
Yeah.
Where they want attention and they want some accolades, but it can't be the sole reason they're doing something. And I get the me versus we dilemma and the problem with maturity. I mean, social media is a freaking nightmare for coaches. Mm-hmm. Because you're trusting somebody that's 18 to 22 to be mature all the time. And the eye in the sky is always on. Someone's always got their phone. I mean, A-Rod is trying to sue four companies that took a picture of him. Somebody took a picture of him while he was on the can. Right? I mean, that's social media. A-Rod's taking a deuce. Let's get a photo. and he's ticked off about it, right? That's your phone. Who did that? Mm-hmm. And Kirk Ferentz gets a certain type of dude at Iowa that is 2.5, 3-star. Let's call him Josie Jewell. Mm-hmm. All right? Or let's call him Hockson. Is it Hockinson?
Hockinson. Yeah.
Let's call him Hockinson. Or who's George Kittle? Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, George Kittle's living the life. The guy grew a man bun, and he's out in San Francisco where there's no corn in sight. So he's screaming Mel Gibson, freedom, you know? All right? His eyes have been opened out to San Francisco, and, oh, it's not conservative. But you need to be able to drop the hammer, have a common goal, mm-hmm. and be about the guy next to you versus about, well, okay, I'm wearing this shirt. I got my picture snapped with it. I need to get compensated. There's a growing amount of disgruntlement, and I understand it, by players, right? You're using me. You're making tons of billions off of me, and it's got to stop. I need to quit being taken advantage of. There's people in these kids' ears. There's kids that feel exploited, and they're sick of it. And they have a guy like Blake that is going to help them get what they deserve from an influencing and financial standpoint. I don't completely disagree with Kirk Ferentz saying, dude, I mean, you come here for Iowa, you're going to bust your ass for Iowa, and we're right. going to win together. You've got to have that win out. It's not that guys can't have social media, but you need to go over the top to make sure that they are mature enough to handle social media. Blake educates kids on that all the time. Coach Frost lets guys be free. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't go jail cell, prison, Shawshank here like Ferentz does. I mean, you're going to miss out on some kids. In the grand scheme, you hope the kid's willing to say, dude, I could be a great tight end at this school. I can check my phone in. You hope a kid's mature enough to see and say that. Yeah, but it's not the case.
Yeah, I see one positive and one negative with the, like, overbearing. And the positive is you aren't seeing the negative things on social media. You aren't so caught up in, you know, hey, maybe you dropped a game-winning interception, and that's the only thing people are talking about on social media. Now you're not seeing it, right? The negative, however, is if something like that happens where you make a game-winning interception and you want to retweet that, or you want to post a picture from a game, or someone like says, hey, we got this picture from so-and-so source, you want to post it. Mm-hmm. Like,
That's your picture. You should be taken care of.
Exactly. Like, you should be able to retweet something that involves you to be like, hey, look at, like, what kids have for Huddle. It's like highlight film. Like, that's kind of what Twitter's become. Like, you want that to get out there and get
that's me
out there.
I made the play, and guess what, the Big Ten Twitter network handle is going to tweet that bastard out if it's a pick six to win the game. That's going to get
or
a lot of views
return, whatever, yeah, no,
I mean it's immediacy that is what you have. So I don't know how much longer. I mean, it wasn't that long ago that Iowa's Twitter account was suspended. Mm-hmm. So you've got to evolve if you're Iowa.
I get it's a fine line, but like at the same time, you are trusting 18 to 22 year olds to
go execute a play.
Well, yeah, to play football, to go to class, to get enough sleep, not stay out too late.
Graduate.
Like, yeah, you should be able to let them have their phone every now and then.
It is. It's the bad apples take here.
Yeah.
There's two or three idiots that you've always got to watch on social media. I don't know. I'm glad Rex Chapman is doing his blocker charge. That has been riveting. We'll wind down hour one. Rick Pizzo's coming up. Hail Varsity continues.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
What final time? Rick Pizzo's 10 minutes away, and Dr. Petey, Derek Peterson, is coming up. Sue is headed to Tampa to play with Levante. Good stuff from Mitch Sherman from The Athletic on social media in Iowa. Now, I did get some information that Instagram is allowed at Iowa. It's just that Twitter is no soap for you, which is fine. I think I have an Instagram account. I don't get on it much. Junior's all over it. I think he has deleted his Schmidt Radio Junior. I have shamed him too many times on the airwaves and in the stands as a baseball father for him to continue to pay homage to me with a Twitter account.
It's probably private now.
No, I don't think so. I know you want an update when he was trying to bribe his way out of getting grounded or
where'd you
keeping
make him take
the,
you?
The sentence. We went to Hacienda. Love it. Amazing Mexican.
Okay.
And he's like, I get there after work, and he didn't tell my wife about this. Mama's sitting across the table from us, and he pulls out a wad of cash. Like, right here, Dad, you get me done from being grounded here, and I got dinner tonight. And I said, wow, how much do you owe your mother? She chimes in, $100. Why don't you just hand it across the table, man, before she jumps across the table at you? So he's still grounded. till June. All because he didn't get his room picked up. I just lost it. Came home Friday.
Well, it's only, what, 10 days? I mean, well, that's
actually
a lot.
He's been grounded for a week. But he's been pissing us off something fierce. He's intentionally going around trying to, like, annoy us. So we'll just say, all right, that's it. Get downstairs. Just leave us alone. But I won't break. I won't let him outlast me. So he said, start cleaning the house. I want to remind you about buckling up. Something's got to stop that motion, and airbags don't always do it. Your seatbelt or the windshield. Seatbelts prevent excessive injury when your vehicle and body need to slow down in a hurry. That applies to whether you're in the driver's seat, passenger seat, or back seat. Buckle up now. Click it or ticket a message from the Nebraska Department of Highway Safety Office. You can email Chris at HaleVarsity.com, 466-3776, 466-3776-800-825-5865, and give us a follow on Twitter at Schmidt_radio or at 2 Birds, 1 Stone. Next hour, we'll get into this Durant debate that, A, Kevin Durant's bunny ears are perked up about people questioning his importance and his value. That'll happen next hour. NFL and the NFLPA have agreed to look into pain management via marijuana. Can I just say weed? I sound too old and feel too old by going marijuana. We're gonna say weed. And we'll talk Nebraska baseball, their prospects in Omaha, and get thoughts from Rick Pizzo on the mayor in Roby. Derek Peterson, also from HaleVarsity.com and magazine. Get his take on Mills. Get his take on Robes. And we will no doubt chap into the... I'm sure there's still hatred for Durant by Dr. Petey for leaving his beloved Thunder. But we'll get his take. He's an NBA guy. Time permitting... All of that ahead. It's buffet time, so grab a plate. Rick Pizzo next. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmidt_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmidt.
Back with you, Tower 2. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. You'll see him, well, a ton. You always see him a lot, but he'll be anchoring your Big Ten baseball coverage at the Big Ten Network. It's Big Ten Buffet time with Rick Pizzo at BTN. Rick Pizzo, Rick, are you going to have someone bring you some Cracker Jacks and a brat at least? You can't be physically at the ballpark, but you'll be taking care of folks watching Nebraska and other Big Ten teams. How are you?
You're talking about Cracker Jacks and brats. I thought you told me you guys are going to be near Zipline Brewing. If you want to bring me something to get through those baseball games, that's probably a better choice, right?
Well, yeah. I you know what? That's just rude of me. I can absolutely bring you something of our friends at Zipline's finest that you will come back and try again is what I'll leave it at. I mean,
that's a deal.
So there we go. Job number one, cover game. Job number 1A, take care of Pizzo and his thirst. Done, man. Let's start with baseball. We'll get into some Nebraska football and hoops as well. But Rick, as you follow the Big Ten baseball race, what's your impression of Nebraska as they head into this Big Ten tournament?
Well, I got to give this team a ton of credit for the way they bounced back over the last 2 weekends. You lose 2 out of 3 against Iowa. You lose to Creighton. You lose 2 out of 3 against Illinois. You lose 2 out of 3 against Northwestern. I'll be honest with you, Chris. When they lost the first 2 games of that series against Northwestern, I was ready to leave this team for dead. They picked up that Sunday win, and then you come back and you win 2 out of 3 from Arizona State. You win 2 out of 3 from Michigan. I know you had the advantage of some home cooking there, but I especially love the way they shut down Arizona State's bat to win that series on Sunday. And I would contend that if they didn't have to play a doubleheader against Michigan on Friday, they were in great position to sweep that series. I think having to play 2 on Friday with that impending weather on Saturday and the schedule change may have helped Michigan steal a game in that series.
if you are swinging hot bats at this time of the year, then you can beat just about anybody. Now Nebraska gets to take on Minnesota in game number one, and that's a team, obviously, that beat the Huskers in 2 out of 3. But in the one game that Nebraska won during the regular season, they pounded out 10 runs. So that's obviously what they need. They need the bats to show up against the Minnesota pitching staff that has been really good, is really talented, but has been also very inconsistent this year.
You know, Minnesota is interesting because you look at the series that Nebraska lost and one-run game in the rubber match against the Illini. You lose a walk-off after an amazing pitching performance twice from Waldron against Iowa and also against Minnesota. So the series Nebraska lost to the upper crest, you know, of the Big Ten, they were right there. The thing I like is, and you nailed it with the hot bats, Nebraska's batting average is about 20-some points higher than it had been heading into the Arizona State and Michigan series. So they're swinging better. They're also swinging for more power. They've hit 9 home runs in their last 2 series. So that's encouraging for Nebraska. I just love Coach Erstad's mindset for these guys where it's okay. You can start doing some cool things this time of the year, even if you've slumped or underperformed to your own expectation. I think he's had these guys pretty well locked in, and we'll see. I mean, it's at TD Ameritrade. You're going to get the one day of sunshine tomorrow, I think. Nebraska's allowed one day of sunshine a month in the spring months, I guess. So anything can happen. What's your read on Minnesota? You mentioned inconsistency, and I know their stud hurler's not going to go right away on the hill. Give us a little breakdown of the Gophers. It's been a while since Nebraska faced them.
Yeah, I honestly thought they were going to be a little bit better this year than they turned out to be. They're a team that unless they win the AQ, they're not going to get in to the NCAA tournament. I mean, John Anderson, the coach, has been there forever. They just lost a ton, you know, from last year's team. I mean, Vavra, their shortstop, was kind of the heartbeat of that team. And I think when he left, it kind of took a little bit of salt and vinegar away from that team, right? Because that's really what they played with last year in 18. And I didn't see that this year. And I think that kind of led to a little bit of that inconsistency. I mean, Max Meyer, you know, the converted closer who is now a starter and can throw as hard as anybody in the league, when he is on, he can shut anybody in the country down. But he is a converted closer, and so it is hard to make that conversion, especially later in the year, right? Because maybe early in the year you have the adrenaline, you've still pitched a bunch of innings in previous years, but now you're expected to go 6-7, and you're supposed to do it multiple times per year. So they have struggled, I think, in some of his starts a little bit later. He's still a very dangerous pitcher. I still think that the way that these teams are playing at this point, Nebraska is the favorite to get out of that game. Listen, in a one-game type scenario, anything can happen. It's obviously a double elimination series. And I think that pitching, as it always does, will be a key later in this series. But I really think that early on, it is about who is swinging the hottest bats, and it's about who can get runners on base, force teams to go into their bullpen. Because remember, these managers do not want to have to go into their bullpens on Wednesday and Thursday, because the thought process is that you hopefully got to come back Friday and Saturday. Maybe you're even playing on Sunday. You're trying to save as much as you can. You get into a pen early in this tournament, and you are usually doing damage offensively.
Right, and depth-wise, you just, across the board, most teams don't have it to go early to the bully and hope it's still good enough to get it done on a Saturday or Sunday. Rick Pizzo's with us, Big Ten Network at BTN. Rick Pizzo anchoring the coverage for the Big Ten Baseball Tournament. TD Ameritrade will be up at Zipline 4 to 6, right across from TD Ameritrade in Omaha, excited for the road show. So, Rick, what are your expectations for Nebraska in this tournament? And let's take a step further. Who's in right now per the Rick Pizzo field of 64?
Well, I don't think there's any doubt. There's 3 teams to me that, regardless of what happens this week, their RPI, their non-conference record schedule, and what they've done in the league is enough to get them in, even with 2 straight losses in the tournament. And that is Indiana, Illinois, and Nebraska. I don't think you can overstate how important those two non-conference wins against Arizona State late in the year were. I mean, you saw Nebraska's RPI move fairly dramatically high after that series, and then it moved again after Michigan. So I think the Huskers are safe. There's no doubt that Indiana and Illinois are safe. I think the most interesting team heading into the tournament is Michigan.
Okay.
Because Michigan had that, you know, 12-game win streak, or was it even a 13-game win streak in the middle of the year. They play one of the worst non-conference schedules in the country. And so it's come back to bite them. They're hovering right around 50 now in the RPI. So if you head into this tournament and you are only able to pick up one win, or even more disastrous, if you lose your first two, I don't think Michigan gets in. I think Michigan needs to win at least two games in this tournament to get in. I think everybody else in the Big Ten, the remainder of the field, would have to win the AQ. I just don't think that any other team is high enough up in the RPI. I think the next highest team after Michigan may be Maryland, and they're low 70s. So that's a little bit too far back to expect enough to happen in the tournament. I think outside those four teams, the other four have to win the AQ.
Rick Pizzo's with us, Hale Varsity Radio. Rick, haven't talked to you in a couple of weeks. What's your take on the Hoiberg makeover? They are at one over as we speak right now. The mayor's been busy, man, and he's been acquiring some talent. Pretty impressive.
But it doesn't really surprise me, honestly, Chris, because you and I spoke when he got hired, and we spoke about him doing exactly this. You know, you're overloading your class with experience, with JUCOs, with transfers, especially the guard position. I think what they've done has been really smart, you know, bringing in different kinds of guards. Obviously, when you get a commitment like that from a guy who's going to play point, and you go out and you start to look for different guys that can play the two. I think Fred has done a really nice job when he brought in this staff of explaining to his staff exactly what he wanted to do from a year one recruiting standpoint. Because this year is different than any other year, because you're not really recruiting. You're stockpiling. And that's exactly what he's done. You are stockpiling as much talent and experience to get your team on the map. Even those guys that only have 1 year left to play, even a grad transfer, even a JUCO that has 2 years at most, those are important guys because they set the foundation this year for a team that you hope is in some type of postseason tournament. Obviously, the NCAAs will be a huge bonus. But if you get to the NITs, it's a selling point. You are on the way up. You are recruiting for the future. That's why you stockpile now. This is exactly what I expected Fred to do. This is, I think anybody that knows him, that knows the business, and understand what he had to do in the Big Ten to be competitive right away, this is it. And then next year, we see the harder sell to the high school recruits. And the year after that, he starts to do what he did at Iowa State. You're still relying a lot on transfers and JUCOs, but you are a big enough brand then, you and your staff, to go out and recruit those high school kids that you otherwise wouldn't be able to.
The sprinkling is nice. When you look at Mack and Green, yep, the JUCO talents, you got Mr. Ohio, Samani Curtis, who was going to be at Cincy and going to be at Xavier. He had coaching changes. He ends up with the mayor. You got a kid that is from a basketball academy, like Boris Diaw, Tony Parker, Ivan the Terrible is what we've kind of dubbed him. He's just 17, but he's going to be a beast. And then you got 6'6 to 6'9 kids, and it's spaced out, Rick. You've got really good roster management where it's not going to be all or nothing, boom or bust. You've got time for guys to develop, and you got immediate need bucket makers also on campus. So the mayor's done an incredible job.
Yeah, and I think the other thing is, if you look at a lot of his most successful Iowa State teams, you had depth across the front line, but you never had a huge amount of size, right? Mm-hmm. You never had two or three 6'11 guys who could just dominate down low, because that's a really hard recruit. Those guys are not looking right now at Nebraska. They didn't look at Iowa State when Fred first got to Ames, right? They're looking at Kansas.
Right.
They're looking at bigger schools, so you can't necessarily recruit those talented 6'10", 6'11 guys. You do it this way, and you play a different style. This is why this hire was made. This is why when Bill Moos spoke to Fred Hoiberg, I guarantee you, Fred said, Bill, listen, I have a plan. I have a plan that has already worked. I have a plan that not a lot of other places want to apply this plan and try to make it successful. Not only do I want to, but I know how to make it successful. That's why this makes so much sense. I think even those folks who wondered for a second, why after an NBA job would you leave to go back and take a job inside a league where there have been several teams annually that are better than you each and every year? This is why. Because Fred knew the formula from Ames is a perfect transition to Lincoln.
Rick Pizzo's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Rick, a thought here on Beilein. Again, it's been a while since we chatted. I'm happy for him. Great coach, amazing teacher. Kind of shocked, but maybe I shouldn't be.
Yeah, I think you shouldn't be probably as much as you were. And I'll be honest with you, the initial shock hit me. And then when you really start to analyze it, you use the word teacher. And that's the key word. John Beilein in today's college game feels like he can be less of a teacher than in the past. And I think maybe the decision that put him over the line was the Jordan Poole decision to go pro. Jordan Poole is a young man who has gotten better under John Beilein. Even though his numbers have not gotten dramatically better, he has become a better basketball player. He was not ready for the NBA right now. John Beilein loves coaching those guys who are on the cusp, who have a chance to make this a living. And he embraces the opportunity to get them there so that they can have a 6, 8, 10-year career. Jordan Poole wasn't ready. The culture of college basketball has more and more each year pushed kids that are on the edge to make the decision to go pro. And I think in John Beilein's mind, why do you then want to spend all this time out there recruiting to get kids who need to stay 3 or 4 but only want to stay 1 or 2? Yeah. At least if you do it in the NBA and you have free agency a couple of years down the road, you know exactly when a player can be leaving and you can manage your roster that way. You can't do that in college. Add to that, here is a guy that literally worked himself up from being an assistant coach on a JV high school team to be a coach at the highest level in Division I college basketball and led Michigan twice to the national championship game. He's conquered basically every mountain there is in coaching except the NBA. And at his age, it's one final chance to climb that mountain. So you add those things together, I don't think it's quite as surprising as it seemed on the surface.
Roby's been getting a lot of good feedback. He has a little more than 8-9 days to make his decision to stay in the draft. What's your gut say about Roby? Got about a minute here, Rick.
My gut says he's going to go, and that's different than a month ago. I really thought a month ago he would come back and try to develop. I think I have seen the same stuff that you've seen, Chris. I've heard the same stuff that people absolutely love the way that he can defend. And maybe, just maybe, he has now had enough people tell him to be more aggressive and to light a fire and to be nasty, because I've seen some clips, I've seen some offensive outbursts, some aggressiveness that we really did not see on a consistent basis in Lincoln. I have a feeling that he is one of those guys that continues to climb up draft boards, and if your stock continues to rise up until the day that you have to make that decision, you become more and more likely to keep your name in the draft.
Yes, you do. And I think 90-10 is kind of the lean, and we shall see. Best to him. Great player, and that consistency and aggressiveness. If you unleash it, man, he could be something special. Rick Pizzo is special. You'll watch him during the Big Ten baseball tournament. We'll be rocking in Omaha at Zipline. And Rick, we'll be thinking about you, brother, and we'll send you one. How's that sound?
Sounds good, brother. Enjoy the IPA and the baseball. We'll talk soon.
Oh, we will. At Zipline tomorrow, Hail Varsity Roadshow for the Big Ten baseball tournament. It's Dr. Petey time. He's next on Hail Varsity.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Great to have you back. Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone, Elijah sitting in. We say hi to the good doctor, Derek Peterson, HailVarsity.com and magazine. Great story on Dedrick Mills. He got up, able to get caught up and talk at length with Mills' college coach. Dr. Petey, it's been a while, brother. How are you?
I'm good, man. How are you guys? It has been a long time. I'm starting to think you didn't like me anymore.
Well, no, you've been gone. You had graduations and all that stuff to go deal with. So
yeah, I guess that's true.
You were good. Okay, so what are the expectations for Dedrick Mills? What does What does he need to do number-wise for Nebraska next year?
In terms of production in season?
Yeah, give me what's a fair stat? Yards per carry, yards total for this Frost offense.
He had 700 his freshman season at Georgia Tech. He had 12 touchdowns. He had a 5.1 yards per carry average. If he can get 700 again and replicate that yards per carry average, Nebraska should be in good shape. I don't know that they've got one guy on the roster that's going to be a 1,000-yard rusher this upcoming season, and that's including Maurice Washington. I think Maurice Washington has stuff he's got to work on in his game that he's not getting the chance to do that right now. If Dedrick can be, and I think Dedrick is going to kind of get first crack at being the first guy on the field in that opener. If he can be a guy that kind of does what he did at Georgia Tech, he was a freshman All-American that season in 2016. He was the ACC's freshman of the year. If he can just do that again, I think Nebraska will be good. Now, obviously, the hope is that he has developed and he's grown, and he had 1,300 yards at Garden City last season, and the hope is that he can continue to build on his game and be a 1,000-yard rusher. I think he's got the potential to be an every down back. He's a physical guy, but he looks like a natural runner. But I don't know that he has to have 1,000 yards, because I think Adrian Martinez, the expectation with Adrian Martinez is that he's going to be maybe a little bit more involved in the running game. He had 600 yards last year. If he gets up to 800, anything close to 1,000, I think he could get, in that realm. And then so you add that with, some of the runs that you're going to get from wide receivers, some of the runs that you're going to get between Miles Jones and Wandale Robinson, and then you factor in Maurice Washington into the equation. And I don't think Dedrick has to be 1,000-yard guy. I think he can be what he was at Georgia Tech, and Nebraska would be really happy with that.
You've got a lot of complimentary pieces. Derek Peterson's with us, HaleVarsity.com and Magazine. In this running attack, and I remember seeing what I saw at Oregon, where they could run Mariota from time to time. They had a freshman in Royce Freeman that was just a beast. And then they had the quick dudes. I mean, they had the Duck R guys. And that's a beautiful three-headed monster to just wear out a defense. And you needed that hammer. You have that hammer with Mills. And I love his fit from going from the option style that he could get out. He's fast enough to get outside, but yeah, he was beautifully comfortable in the muck, man, running in between the tackles as a fullback in an option attack. So I'm excited with what his style will bring. I mean, you needed it to complement all the facets of this Frost offense. What did you learn from Coach Sims on Mills?
Well, the quote that I included in my story, that was from something that Greg had talked to Coach Sims back in January, whenever that was, that we ran that story. That was where that quote came from.
Okay. But the quote is, I mean, the guy loves football. He's had to work to get back to it despite making some mistakes, correct?
Right, yeah. I mean, and I wrote this in my story. This is not a kid with baggage. This is just a kid that had to do what he had to do to reach the potential that he has, and he's done it. And the quote that's in that story from his former coach is basically just something that Eric Shenander would love. It's, he loves football. He loves it on Tuesdays. He loves it in practice. He loves it on the field. He loves it when other guys don't love it very much. And I think the best part of that quote was when he was talking about Dedrick's not only willingness, but I guess enjoyment that he takes from blocking when he doesn't have the football. And I mean, that just, that's music to Ryan Held's ears. That's music to Troy Walter's ears. I mean, they preach downfield blocking. They preach perimeter blocking. If you don't have the rock, you have to block. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that fits right in. Like, Dedrick is completely fine doing that, it seems like. So I thought that was pretty telling. Because, I mean, everybody says that they love football, but, you know, you can really tell how a guy feels about it when he's not directly involved in the play. What is he doing? And it seems like Mills is one of those guys who, you know, he'll put a hat on somebody if you give him the opportunity.
Derek Peterson's with us, Hail Varsity Radio, HailVarsity.com and magazine. Just an update, good stuff. Greg Smith has got an interview coming up with Jacob Gamble, Iowa Western Community College offensive lineman. Just picked up an offer from Nebraska, going to take an unofficial to Nebraska this weekend. So good on Greg. Good on you. And I know it's yearbook season that's winding down, and Vogues is in the bunker getting it ready. Where are you at right now? You see Athlon, you see Streeton Smith picking Nebraska to win the West. You see a rider from Wisconsin lose his mind about Nebraska being picked to win the West. I think Nebraska can do it. I'm just not expecting them to do it. I think they'll get better as the year goes on. I just think maybe they're a year away. Way too early take. Where are you at with Nebraska? Are you leaning more towards yes, they're going to make it through the West, or no, they'll be good, but they'll just fall short?
I'm at like 8.5 wins on the season. That's kind of where I've settled in at. Now, I've said this a couple times. If they're 4-0 and they're going into that Ohio State game at home and they win that Ohio State game, everything is on the table. I think this team has the potential to make it to Indy. I was about to say Bankers Life Fieldhouse. That's the basketball arena. No,
sure.
They have the potential to make it to Indy. And I mean, they have, I would say, the best quarterback in the conference. So anytime that happens, you have a chance. But there are some road tests, and everybody likes to kind of freak out when you start talking about Minnesota, but I think Minnesota is going to be really good this year. I think they've got to go to Purdue and play a really good Purdue football team, and that'll be a test. Ohio State will obviously be a test, and you know, I don't think
Iowa, Wisconsin aren't cakewalks. I mean, Nebraska's not beaten them in 500 years.
Right. I don't think it's just kind of the walk in the park that everybody assumes it's going to be. I think Nebraska's going to have to work for it, and they're going to have to do some things that they haven't, frankly, done in a while around here. So it's going to be kind of learning on the fly a little bit. But I like the talent. I like Adrian Martinez. I'm just not quite ready to say, yeah, they're a lock to win the West, and they're absolutely going to be at the Big Ten title game. I think there are some things, some questions that they have to answer first. Maurice Washington factors into that big. But 8.5 is kind of where I've settled at.
You know, and it's interesting, what's the number going to be to get the West? Brad Edwards has told us that you're going to have, I mean, it is the epitome of the Wild West, where you're going to beat up on each other, and it's going to be a good, deep West, where, I mean, Nebraska, in your normal bad Purdue years, right, pre-Brom, Nebraska wasn't beating Purdue at Purdue. Pre-Fleck, Nebraska wasn't winning at Minnesota. They've lost two of the last three times. Now, Jerry Kill's a hell of a coach. So Minnesota was a really good 8-4 team, and Minnesota won here not that long ago, okay? Now, you drilled them a year ago, which was great. That said, going up there, at least it's earlier, right? You'll know a lot early, because you'll have Ohio State, and you're going to have Minnesota all before the third week of October. You'll know a little bit with your crossover. And then Indiana's a pain in the ass. They just are. They play everyone pretty well. And then crab cakes and football, man. Going to Maryland to end the year before you get to Iowa, right after, might be Wisconsin. I got to double check. But
after Wisconsin.
Yeah, that's a sneaky game, right? So
yeah, it's a fun stretch. I mean, the last six games.
Like, it'll be great. It'll be awesome.
You got at Purdue and you got Wisconsin in 4 weeks, three games in 4 weeks, and that'll be interesting. And also the game that everybody likes to kind of just gloss over. Like, we're going to know a lot about this team after Colorado.
It's
not an easy game. That's a tough game, and they've got to go on the road in week two. So we'll know a lot about this team after the first 4 or 5 weeks of the season, and maybe at that point, maybe we can start talking about Big Ten.
Yeah, and I think the thing that you feel best about with Frost is the team's going to get better. I mean, they'll end on a positive versus a negative. We've got literally 2.5 minutes left. Derek Peterson with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine at Dr. Petey on HV is where you find him on Twitter. So, what's your gut tell you about Roby? Can you tell me your takeaway with the combine stuff, and can you squeeze in like your impressions of the photo shoot? I mean, can you get both of those in like 2.5 minutes as I shut up?
The photo shoot was awesome. Paul Bellinger is super cool, and it's like a 180-degree change from what we did last year. So that's what I'll say there. Players seem to really like it. Roby is gone. I think he's gone. I think he did well at the combine. Some of the athletic measurements, like his vertical, was a little strange. It was a little bit lower than I thought it was going to be, and some of the actual physical measurements were not as great as they could have been, but he really helped himself, I think, in the 5-on-5 drills, and some guys didn't compete. A lot of guys, actually, this year didn't compete in those, and that'll probably hurt them, but it's to Roby's benefit because the second game that he played, I think he showcased what he can be, and that's a versatile, kind of rangy wing that can be a little bit too athletic for bigger fours and can be kind of a load to handle for smaller threes. And I think that's kind of – I think he's gotten good feedback. The telecast, everybody was talking about Roby, so I think he heard what he needed to hear, and I think he's going to make the decision that it's time to go – pursue that dream.
Have you shed a tear for Durant?
I don't want him to be hurt. Like, that's not how I want them to lose. It's kind of fun that they are playing this well without.
Oh, I know you're loving it, bro. You probably even have a Golden State jersey you've unburied because.
No, let's not go that far.
I don't want him to be hurt. Believe me. I know. Junior's been laughing it up with Golden State finding a way down 20 to beating Portland. Portland's fun, but yeah, it's kind of fun watching the old Warriors without that guy that gets on social media and gets offended.
And he's still on social media. Oh my goodness!
No, he's ticked off
at
Fox Sports.
He's up in New York.
Oh, it's bad. Dr. Petey will grab a cocktail soon. Bud, we'll see you.
Sounds good, man. Thank you.
Chime in 402-466-ESPN or email the show, chris@hailvarsity.com.
Just try me.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
All right, great stuff from Derek Peterson. And don't forget, the in-demand is, well, it's your friend. Can log on to ESPNLincoln.com for different interviews. Colton's going to have things posted on the ESPN Lincoln Twitter handle. Some of the best parts of our interviews. Hear that audio on the SoundCloud on your time. The full podcast, you're going to the gym or you're taking the dog for a walk or you just don't want to listen to the wife and children. I get it. You can just log on ESPN Lincoln for the interviews. You can get to iTunes for the entire podcast or go to HailVarsity.com, the More tab, and just scroll on down to Hail Varsity. 466, or I should say Hail Varsity Radio, 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Numbers to get in, chris@hailvarsity.com, on Twitter @Schmidt_radio, @2birds1stone. So, Nebraska and Coach Erstad met the media this morning. TD Ameritrade's the joint, and Nebraska's excited about it. What type of pressure is this team feeling is something you can ask out loud. It was something Coach Erstad was asked today. And I loved his response. I loved his answer. And I think they are going into tomorrow ticked off that Minnesota got 2 out of 3 from them. I think they're going into it ticked off that they got to watch this tournament a year ago. I think they got a new mindset. You got 9 home runs and 25 points higher in team batting average your last 6 games. You made the adjustment. You got aggressive. You felt better offensively. You got back to being you as a starting pitching staff. Right? I mean, and I think the point that Pizzo made about Michigan getting the doubleheader, I think if that thing spaced out for 3 days, Nebraska sweeps. Absolutely. Here's Coach Erstad from the press conference today at TD Ameritrade.
I think we got a lot of guys that like it. I mean, I don't feel like we put anybody on the field that doesn't thrive in that. I mean, that's kind of this team we have. I've talked about it all the time. We're not the greatest team in the world, but they fight. And this is just another opportunity to do cool things on the field. And this is, you know, I think they kind of like this kind of thing.
You know, this is – Nebraska's got to be feeling great, man. They're playing good ball. They're hitting the baseball. They are not the one seed favorite, right? But they can go in with an edge and play some house money. They're probably in, right? I mean, they're going to be the third team in from the Big Ten. And Nebraska's an eyelash from winning the league. And they're a game from finishing second, so don't let the fifth fool you here. I think Indiana and Illinois are damn good squads. Illinois eked out a 2-1 series win over Nebraska. Minnesota, well, here's what Coach Erstad remembers about the Gophers and how that went down early in Big Ten play.
Meyer isn't throwing 90, 95 with 92-mile-an-hour cutters. And I remember getting walked off twice, so that was fun. But all that stuff out the window. They got a great team. I mean, they've won the last two Big Tens, won this tournament last year, went to Super Regional. So a ton of experience there. Very, very well coached.
They are. And they're not the same team as they were a year ago that went to a Super Regional. But I love Erstad's. Well, we got freaking. I can just hear him being him. Oh, he got walked off. That was great. I mean, the old hockey player mentality with Coach Erstad, and he wants to win everything and anything he does. So I think he'll have the guys ready. He mentioned Max Meyer and Max Meyer's transition from bullpen to starter has been good and okay, and Nebraska won't see him. So listen, Nebraska needs to go out there, keep playing like they're playing. What's going to be nice is to have something that's 73 and sunny tomorrow, right? Colton and Elijah are in the studio nodding their head like, yes, that would be great to have a day that's sunny, not windy is all get out. And all right, so we're going to punish you. We're going to give you sunshine, but we're going to punch in the junk with wind here. Give me a nice spring day that's 75, windless, and sunshine. I had like four of those in a year. I'm over it. I don't know that I favor Nebraska to win. I think Nebraska is in a good enough headspace right now to get to the championship game. The best thing I like about this is I like the fact that Nebraska baseball is going to have a chance to end the season the right way with wins. Maybe they put together they're 4-2 in their last six. Maybe they end up 6-3 in their last nine. 7-3 in their last 10. But I like the fact that Erstad's got his guys playing well. And I like the fact that these guys have stepped up and responded. And guess what? All that stupid noise that's out there about Darren Erstad and the baseball program and, well, gee, why aren't they doing? They're playing good baseball when it matters most, right? And Hail Varsity talked with the Moose, Bill Moose, love the Moose. And he's like, dude, the guys competed. We're competing for championships. And you go through slumps in baseball. Darren Erstad's kicking butt, taking names. I have taken the liberty of paraphrasing and dropping my own descriptors in there, but there's no worry. Everyone that's been bitching and moaning about Darren Erstad and Nebraska baseball can go back to chewing on a salt block, okay? That's what I'm excited about, because you got a guy who loves the state, loves the program, loves baseball, wants to win worse than the most rabid fan. And you can disagree with some of the recruiting he's done or how in-state talent's gotten out. I'm not saying he's been perfect, but I'm saying you're not going to find a guy that's better than him. And you're not going to find a guy who cares more about the state of Nebraska. And I think you need to step back and say, okay, man, maybe we got hot takey and jumped the gun with a claw hammer on Coach Erstad, vocal minority. Now, if they go 0-2 in TD Ameritrade, line up and start punching me in the face come Friday, that's very fair. But I don't think they're going to do that. I think they're going to go play good baseball. They played good baseball. They played good baseball, and they responded in a monster pressure situation. A little less pressure with taking 2 out of 3 from Arizona. But your experience as a Nebraska fan, pick a sport the last 5 years, has not been a great one when it comes to response moments. It's gone from bad to worse a lot of times, be it football or basketball. Baseball stepped up. And we'll see if Nebraska and Erstad continue to step up. And his tone with, they like it. Well, good. Because some guys can't handle it, some guys don't. This team seems ready. And they are playing confident, confident baseball. We'll wind down to Tuesday with Hail Varsity Radio. Roadshow tomorrow up at Zipline in Omaha.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Time, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Salt Dog Baseball, we're joining in progress here in Lincoln on ESPN Lincoln. So that'll be good stuff. I think the Royals got rained out. Having an argument with my garbage man friend, Kent. And he's not all in on Nebraska. You can email Chris at HailVarsity.com. Kent's still pissed about Holy Cross and Yale. I've got no answer for you. Losing to them is like getting hazed with Bush's fraternity class. I mean, it just went to a new level. But you learned how to drink. It helped you. There was some good to it. I'm lying. All right, Sauter Heyman. Go see Rick and your friends at Sauter Heyman. Father's Day's around the corner. They got an incredible selection of men's watches. An Oris, a Citizen, big-time stuff. Interest-free financing available. And when you go to Sauter Heyman, they've got some in-store coupons for you through June 16th. You spend $350 or more, you get $75 off. It's a good deal. Go see Rick and your friends at Sauter Heyman today. Locations around the state for you. 12th and O downtown Lincoln. South Point Pavilion, Lincoln around west. In Grand Island, log on today, SauterHeyman.com. So, the itinerary tomorrow. The Pride of Minnesota and North Dakota, Will Bauer is in. Elijah continues to train. You can unhook him now, Colton. All right? I mean, there's ways to introduce yourself and there's ways not to introduce yourself. Colton, you're going to be up in Omaha tomorrow. Usually your day off is Wednesday, so you're going to swing by and partake in an IPA? Yeah, wall on mic?
Yeah, probably, yeah. we'll just get a couple of flights, and we'll just we'll take our time and do some tasting, and maybe a little too much tasting. I do like Zipline, though.
I love it. So I love it. I'm glad
I've never been to the one in Omaha.
See, Neither have I. I live by one in Lincoln. And that's awesome to find my way home. So, point is got baseball tomorrow night at 9. We'll be getting you primed and ready way the heck ahead of time. So if you're taking the day pre-game, or you're just heading up, we are your pregame spot at Zipline in Omaha. Lexi is going to be up there with us. Lexi has tickets for you to TD Ameritrade for not just tomorrow, but maybe I assume she has tickets for tomorrow, but I'm talking Thursday, Friday, the different day sessions. She'll be there handing them out. Probably have some ESPN koozies for you. I don't know if we still have lottery tickets or someone got crazy with them over the weekend. But I'm excited to be on the road tomorrow at Zipline. Will Bauer and Elijah will be here. Colton will be wandering around TD Ameritrade. He may have the tribute to the Sean-O-Meter sign you'd always see on WGN for Wrigley Field. It's the Mojo-O-Meter in the stands. So check the show out, and we'll send you to Salt Dogs Baseball here locally. And thanks for tuning in to Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Talk to you tomorrow at 4 from Omaha.